Good morning. And the sun is shining for you this morning. Amen. How many of you love those nice cool mornings we've had lately? Y'all go ahead and raise your hand. Y'all like the nice cool mornings we've had? Just hold that up there. How many of you are thankful that Jesus is doing that for us? Now, before you start waving your hands, say, thank you, Lord, for the snow that's coming. Amen. Lord, we got a rebellious bunch in here today. Yeah, no, we lost. Oh, my goodness, my goodness. It is good to celebrate. It's good to have laughter. It's good to have fun and fellowship, isn't it? Amen. I'm going to ask that you turn with me to 1 Corinthians again this morning. We began a little journey here a few weeks ago. We're going to continue there in chapter 13. I'll begin reading at verse number 4. I'll ask that you stand with me in honor of God's Word. 1 Corinthians 13, beginning in verse 4. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked, and it thinks no evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Father, thank you again for so great a love and mercy that you have for us each and every day. Lord, that you provide. Lord, that you keep us. Lord, that our hope is ever present because of you. And we thank you that we have opportunity to share that through our words and our actions as you have loved us. We love you. And we love each other, and we love our neighbors. Lord, strengthen us as your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Be seated, please. Last week, I was talking with you about love, and we talked about what it is. We talked about how this is the greatest, the most comprehensive definition for love as God would have us to understand it and to begin to look at our own lives and to break it down in our character to see if we match against these things, if we are meeting God's will and His standard in our life. You know, when we begin to do things in life, if we want to have a party for a football game. You have a list of do's and don'ts, right? You do this, you do this, you do this. You don't do this. You know, like you do this. You want to make sure you got snacks. You want to make sure you have good friends. And you want to make sure that it's an enjoyable environment. You don't want to invite people who are going to be troublemakers. You don't want to have bricks to throw at the TV. You know, you make a list of do's and don'ts. It's like that in life for anything, whether we think about it consciously or not, we have these lists, do's and don'ts. And in our life as a Christian, we need to make a list of do's and don'ts. Who we will be and who we will not be. How we will show God's love through our life and how we should not show God's love through our life. This is where we begin to build this list of do's and don'ts. And we began this list, do's and don'ts, last week, whether you realize it or not. We're going to continue with that this morning. I'm talking to you about things that we should not do. It's on the don't do list. Now, all of you I know are already thinking, oh, I'm going to go do this now. I'm going to go out the door and I'm just going to go do that. That's the way we are, right? I'm looking at all of you. You got a blank stare at me like you never caused trouble in your life. These are the things that we need to see and to hear that God is showing us and teaching us. Here in verse 5, he says this, it does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. It thinks no evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. I mean, there are so many things there that we can beat ourselves up with because we are not perfect in any sense. But we can see that and we can understand it and we can tell what it is we need to work on. Let's start with this. Love does not behave rudely. And it does not seek its own. It's not provoked. It doesn't think evil. Man, if I could just get myself into that bottle and stay there, wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? If all of us could do that? If we could learn not to be self-centered, it would be a good place for us to start escaping these kind of characteristics. Because when we become self-centered, these are the kinds of things that will begin to drive us and what we pursue and how we act and how we speak to people. Learning not to be self-centered, the psalmist says in chapter 10, for the wicked boasts of his heart's desire. He blesses the greedy and renounces the Lord. You see, when we are acting in this don't do kind of way, in this manner of thing that God has already told us is against his will, we are actually renouncing God in our life. You know, many times when we are in our life and doing things that are dishonorable to God, have we ever stopped to ask ourselves, do I realize I'm renouncing God through this act? That sounds rather strong, rather harsh, doesn't it? But Jesus says you can only love one master. You can't serve two. And if Christ is master of our life, then self-centeredness has got to be pushed out of the way. We have got to get ourselves focused on what God wants in our life and through our life in the eyes and the ears of others. We've got to learn not to be self-centered, and we've got to quit boasting of our heart's desire and blessing the things of greed and renouncing the Lord in the way we act. That's behaving rudely, isn't it? We worry about offending people at times, but boy, we ought to really keep offense to God in mind as well. Don't be afraid of the one who can destroy the body, but rather fear the one who can destroy the soul. So I'm asking you this morning, are you living this kind of life for God? When we start talking about love and what it does and does not do, have you learned to remove self-centeredness out of that character you have? Not seeking its own. In Philippians, Paul says, let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. You see, this is, again, another point about being self-centered, because we can be in the midst of people who are suffering greatly, but because our focus is always just on us, we can't see their need, we can't see their hurt. It doesn't matter what they're going through, we only know what we need right now. And that is what we began to work on. We began to pursue despite the needs of those around us. I mean, we have a lot of people in the world that recognize this and say these kinds of things to us through actors and through prominent people, through physicians and psychiatrists. They're always giving us advice. And one advice that you find universally throughout all of life is that we should be kind to people because we don't know what they're going through. And be mindful of that and be kind to them because your extra little straw on that camel's back might be the one that breaks it. Be kind to people. God's not just saying be kind to people. He's saying love them. Remove the self-centeredness away from you. Step away from that characteristic and move over to this side and not look at self, but look at those in need around you. If I look at each one of you individually, I could say with all honesty, I know that each one of you have a need. It doesn't matter how young or old you are, you have concerns. Some of you might be worried about taking a test this week at school. Some of you might be worried about, is it going to be as hard to get up in the morning as it was this morning? My back hurts. My head hurts. I've got another doctor appointment. I mean, life is always chasing after us hard from the time we're born until the time we enter into eternity. We're always going to have to deal with things. And sometimes it makes it hard to recognize the needs of others in our midst that are around us, our friends and our family even, our neighbors. But God's telling us to think about this. Hey, if you've got problems too, don't you think others have problems as well? Don't be self-centered. Don't seek your own. Because you're in a good spot right now and you're ready to celebrate, you know, don't just seek your own and pursue the things of the flesh and of the world. Look to those who aren't quite as prominent as you, or quite as healthy as you, quite in a place in life where you are, where you're comfortable and able to do, and seek those others also. Make them part of your life and part of your circle of influence, and strengthen them. And began to grow your circle. Now, I'm not asking you to sell Amway, but I am asking you to promote Christ and His love and His way of life. I'm telling you to put yourself behind you and look to those in front of you and around you. You know what happens when you put yourself behind you? It doesn't matter which way you turn, you're always still behind you. And you're only seeing those who are there with you. You're only seeing their needs. It doesn't matter which way I turn, I'm still behind me. And I'm looking to you and to you and to those over here and to those there and wherever they might be. I am not looking at me. I'm looking at you. God's asking us to look out for one another, to care for one another, to be mindful of one another. And sometimes it will be hard. And you're going to want to jump up and scream, say, can't somebody see I need help? But if we're all keeping ourselves behind us, somebody will see that. And somebody will help. But I'll tell you this, God's always there to help. Mentally, emotionally, through prayer. God's not going to leave us nor forsake us. God's not going to abandon us. We will always have God with us, even when we feel like the rest of the world has abandoned us. So I'm not living for the world. So the world can just abandon me all it wants. I'm getting closer to heaven. Don't be self-centered. Don't seek your own. And remember this. Paul writes again in Titus, he says, to the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. Even their mind and their conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. When we take self and put them back in front, this is what we become. Abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. Because we are not focused on the things God wants us to be focused on. We can't focus on the work of God if we're always focusing on self. Now, a lot of y'all still need work. Amen. How many of us in here still need work? How many of you know that you're not finished going through that walk with Christ and you're still growing and becoming what he wants you to be? Amen? You hold your hand up there. How many of you are thankful? Keep them hands up there. How many of you are thankful that Christ hasn't given up on you and hasn't just stopped looking at you and your needs? Amen? You got that other hand up there now? Now, how many of you are thankful for the snow that we're going to get this year? Amen. Say, thank you, Jesus. Okay. Amen. Amen and amen. To the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. You see, God is asking us to be pure in the way we live, the way we think, the way we act, and the way we look at others in our life. Love never fails. You hear what God is saying to us? He's saying, I'm giving you the example of who to be and how to be that person. You begin by loving. You move yourself back and you begin to see everyone else with the same eyes that Christ looks at everyone else. With compassion. Not for who they are, but who they can be. Because they're troubled. They're dispirited. They're like sheep without a shepherd. And you have compassion as Christ has compassion. You can't be that if you're self-centered. You just can't. And love, it is not provoked. You know, there are so many things in life that provoke us in this world. And we have to learn to live with a lot of things. Could you imagine Lot living in the kind of world he lived in? Well, you should, because you are. You think about that for a moment. We are living in an environment, in a society, where it is exactly as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. And Lot lived right in the middle of it, and God rescued Lot. Well, God's going to rescue his people, but while we are here, we still have to look at those and still understand that they haven't found Christ. They haven't found forgiveness of sins. And there are things that will provoke us at times, but we never get so provoked that we hate and we discard and we do away with. We have do's and don'ts in our life. We don't act like this and we don't behave like this, but we aren't doing those kinds of sins, but we also aren't throwing people away because of their sin. Because God didn't throw us away. I can look at myself and say, my sin's not as great as theirs. Well, you tell me what sin really is better than any other sin. If Christ died for all sin, which sin is worse than another? And which one can find forgiveness, but which one can't? So on that don't list, don't throw people away because you don't understand them. You don't understand what they're living with in their own. I'm telling you, this world and this society is messing people's minds up. And only a voice of reason and a voice of love and a voice that is speaking through the light of Christ can be seen and heard with the intent with which it is given. I can tell you now, the world is full of people screaming hate. But it needs people shouting love and the path of forgiveness, path of restoration, and the path to new life. Once people take that transition, that step, and transition from this into the light of Christ, then we really begin to work hard on things. And we really become, you know, hard-nosed about some things. Because there are some things we just have to do to honor Christ the way he honors us. Especially among the body of believers. But those that aren't in the body of believers, those that have not made a profession of faith in Christ, they're under the same judgment they are always under. This scripture doesn't guide their life, it guides ours. We're the ones that need to be living by this scripture and teaching it and showing it through our love and through our words and through our actions so that they can see it is real. It's not just something they get fussed at about. It's real to us. And it can be real to them through love. We then who are strong, Paul writes in Romans, ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not please ourselves. Boy, sometimes I just love to tell somebody something. You know what? There have been times in the past when I have. Paul said, I have thorns. I wish I could get these thorns out of my life. But God said, nope, I'm sufficient for you. You just live with your thorns. Do you realize that the sting of who you have been in the past will always be with you? That's not who you still are. If you found forgiveness in Christ, but those thorns don't leave, do they? When God cleanses us of our sin, does he take away the memory of it? No. Do I still feel the guilt of things at times? Yes. Do I still feel the pain of it at times? Yes. Those thorns hurt. They sting. But they remind me how great God's love is and how sufficient he is in life for me. And he is the same for all. And God can forgive. And we have to be strong enough to bear with the scruples of the weak. You hear what God is telling us? This thing, love, boy, it's hard. Can I just say this in my terms? Y'all, this is hard. It's not easy. But this is what God is telling us. We're not self-centered. We're not seeking our own. We're not provoked, and we don't think evil. We don't think evil in terms of wanting it in our life or forcing it into the lives of others. In Matthew, you find these words, and these are the words that really ought to touch you if nothing else has. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts and murders and adulteries and fornications and theft and false witness and blasphemy. These are the things which defile a man. From out of the heart. How many of us have failed? How many of us still fail? How many of us look at others and say, man, they're dirty, filth, and rotty scandals, them people over there, when we ought to be loving and providing the soap of the Spirit to help them find the cleanliness that God wants them to have? You see, love is going to push us to do things we aren't comfortable with. It's going to push us to be people we haven't been and have to learn to be. Love is driving us because we have it. We understand it. We know its need. We know its application. We know a testimony of our life and how it can be in their life. I just love this love thing. Except when it hurts. Except when it stings. except when it makes me uncomfortable. I could keep on and on, but you know what? God's looking down with every one of them and saying this, except I chose you. But can't somebody else do it? But except I chose you. Except I gave it to you. Except I asked you to go and to tell. Except for you, they might not hear. Except for you, they might not hear or see or come to know the love that Christ is trying to give to the world. Except for you. Boy, that really puts the burden on, doesn't it? But Christ calls us in love to be a people of love. And if you have found the forgiveness of Christ, you know how wonderful it is. You know how much you needed it. You thought you knew then, but you can look back now and see it even clearer. And God wants all of us. Everyone who can come, He wants to come. Everyone who will come, He wants to come. And everyone who has a testimony, He wants you to share it. To share it in love. Because He needs us to be His people. Do you know Christ as Lord and Savior today? Do you know forgiveness of sins? Do you know the joy and the hope of life in Christ? I invite you to come now if you don't, to find that peace that comes with Christ. Father, I thank you for the time again that you have given to us. I thank you, Lord, that you have loved us with so great a love. And Lord, I thank you that you are with us every day, even now. And I pray, Father, if there is one who needs forgiveness today, Father, they will come and they will find it in you as you have promised to give. Father, thank you again. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. While the altar is open, will you come?